making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and today and this week we are taking up the subject of Christian discipline and the chastening of the Lord as outlined in Hebrews chapter 12. Certainly a subject that we need to hear more of, something that is very important, and we need to remember in a day where most people today, it's totally foreign to think about the discipline of God. We have a clear teaching here in God's Word about why this is just so important for us as Christians. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, the writer there poses an interesting challenge to us. He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." And then he goes on to say in verse 11 of chapter 12, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Now listen to this, friends, "to those who have been trained by it." What an important aspect of the Christian life and in our growth process as Christians, if you are a Christian today, to think that God actually cares so much for us as to discipline and correct error in our lives. Well, I start with that today to think about the fact and the truth of the reality is that we all love to cover up our lives, and we're good at it. Sadly, this has always been the story of mankind. You'll remember in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned, the very first thing they did was want to cover up their sin by sewing fig leaves together and hiding. And what we all know about that account is that God was the one who had unveiled their lives before the entire heavenly realm. "Adam, where are you?" was the cry from God Almighty. And the answer that came back was, "I heard your sound in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Do we hear that? "I hid myself." That is just the story of mankind, isn't it? We hide ourselves from God and from others. We hide what is really going on in our hearts, and we have all of these fig leaves in our lives to cover our problems, to cover what's really going on. People hide their lives under their wealth, their prestige, their honor, whatever, never wanting anyone to know that what they present on the outside doesn't really reflect what's on the inside. And people hide and run from sin all the time. Cain killed his brother and then was questioned. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he hid himself from taking the responsibility for murder. It was once said by John MacArthur. He said, "Look, if a true Christian refuses to confess his sin or some sin that's gripping him, God at some point is going to do it for him." That's an interesting statement. Meaning that at some point, friends, if a true Christian thinks he's getting away with sin and is living a lie and refuses to confess sin, God is going to bring it out right into the open and expose it before all to draw out true repentance. That's how great his love is for his people. Nothing pictures this better than the life of King David. David was privileged and directly chosen by God to be the king in Israel. A model of piety, David was to be. A model of conduct, a man set apart to represent the eternal kingship of Jesus Christ. One day, this king was out on his roof. He sees a woman. He lusts after her. He has her husband killed. He takes her into himself and lives in the sin of murder and adultery. For months he hid himself. And these, of course, were no small sins. They were the biggies, weren't they? Until one day God sent a man a-knocking. And that man told a parable about another man who would not take of his own lambs, but stole away another poor man's lamb. The most moving part of that account was David's refusal to see that it was him. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 5, David, after he heard this parable, cried out, "As the Lord lives," he cried, "the man who has done this shall surely die." And all of a sudden, the words came back, "You are that man." How we just refuse to hear that, don't we? But you see, when things are openly brought out before all, it is then that we're really forced to deal with it. Can you imagine the comments that went out around Israel about David? David the hypocrite. But you read through this account about David, and this open exposing of his sin to all becomes the moment and period of great pain and anguish and turmoil in his life. A sin that he refused to bring out was now before all of Israel, and David was forced to deal with it head on, wasn't he? And you read through the Psalms, and time again we're moved because there's this bitter lament over his sin, mourning and pain. And yet, when it was all over, it moved him so close to his Lord and his God that he could say, "This is a man after my own heart." God said that about David. You see, the emphasis through all of this is God's loving chastening to us as sons. Why? Well, because we do all in our own power to cover and hide our lives, hide the sin that's in the heart, never admitting that it's there, never willing to deal with the fact that we are the ones. Remember, Nathan said that to David. "You are that man." We never really think it's us. But the key distinctive and the marking that one is really a Christian is that the more and more he comes into the light of Jesus Christ, again, we said this last week, the more his life is actually exposed. Jesus said that, and I can't quote that enough, in John 3, verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? There are those who refuse to have their lives exposed, who refuse to deal with their sin, and so they run. They stay away from Jesus. These concern me, because they think they're getting away with the very things that will be held before them on Judgment Day. Jesus then goes on to say, however, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And so it's as if Jesus is saying, if you are in me and have come to the light, I'm exposing your life and I'm transforming you more and more into my image. And that is drawing out deeds that are full of righteousness. The last part of that is what makes the Christian life so hard, the warfare so intense. The more you come to the light, the more you feel the heat of the battle. And so it's no wonder in this life that Christians are often wounded. The devil shoots, sin takes root in the heart, and that root begins to grow. But the light of Jesus Christ, in contrast, is exposing that dark root, and it's drying out that root, if you will. And the more that that sin is exposed in us, the more it hurts, doesn't it? The more we see our loved ones caught in the intensity to which they are facing this same struggle, the more we agonize. The more we see the devil tear into marriages, the more we see opposition, temptations, the pains of this life, the crosses we have to bear, the more we begin to ask, is it worth it? Who can do it? It's kind of like Job's wife when Job was suffering and she cries out, "Just curse God and die. This is too much." I know that we hear that kind of thing and we think, is it worth it? It's the Christian life. I mean, a lot of people think you come to the Christian life and it gets easier. And I've got news for you. It gets harder because the growth and sanctification is a painful process. But remember that through it all, there's an underlining joy that makes the Christian life so pleasant to live. Let me say that it's to this kind of heart This kind of struggling heart in this world, the Christian who's facing these trials and struggles, it is to that heart that the writer of Hebrews writes. He's pastorally concerned. He writes to them in chapter 12, and he says to them, to you who are facing despair and discouragement in this life, to you who feel the pain and shame of your sin as it's being exposed and as you fight against it, you need to remember that God is treating you as a son. He's not forsaking you. He loves you. And the trials that you face, the exposure of your life, the pains that you come to deal with are the greatest evidence of his love. So then, if this be true, let it not deter you from running this race of life with endurance. And let me say, this is something so backwards to us. I said a minute ago that the Christian life would seem that it would be easier. You know, as you grow in your Christianity, again, there's something backwards that really does occur. Years down the road, as you are where you are now, you are going to see yourself as worse than what you did 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you didn't see the sins of your heart. But as you grow, you come to see your sin, and that causes pain. But we never need to lose sight of the cross. I think that's where the balance comes in, doesn't it? We can never lose sight of the glorious saving act of Christ to redeem and purchase us and to set us apart and to renew us and to strengthen us in this war. And remember, it is a warfare, my friends. We forget this as Christians. The Spirit wars against the flesh, and we're in this warfare so that we do not do the things that we wish. It's a very real struggle for the Christian. But we need to remember, as we go on, and sometimes we will refuse to see these things in us, we'll refuse to acknowledge sin, we'll run from the Lord. I see this a lot in the ministry, people running from the Lord. And we have to remember, God chastens those whom he loves. If it's a Christian, the Lord will come down your path and shake up your life to bring you right back to where you should be. And that's what the author of Hebrews is going to deal with in this passage. He says, remember, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And then he goes on, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And so I leave you with that today, friends. Has the Lord come down your path knocking at your door saying this needs to be corrected? Will you hear his voice? Will you hear his voice calling you and turning you back to him? That is a merciful, gracious God. We need his divine intervention in our lives every bit of the way, lest we continue to hide ourselves as Adam and Eve did in the garden. And the best way, and the most efficient way, he comes after us each and every day is reminding us of what his son did for us on the cross. May we then hear him today and turn all the more to Jesus Christ and receive the renewal that we need as Christians. How may we encourage you in your Christian faith? Give us a call, 360-318-0429. We invite you to worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web, lindenurc.com. Have a wonderful day. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.